Hey, this is Chili Chilton. Thanks again for listening. Today, I want to talk about something that's kind of crazy. And it's really about ministry and the call of God and all of that stuff. As you know, I've been driving Uber for a while, but for 35-some years of my life, I've been in full-time ministry, and I kind of grew up in ministry. And so I know from personal experience quite a bit about the call of God and the ministry that we pursue. But then I read things, and today I was on Facebook and somebody sent me a post that was created by a guy named Chris Bolt, and it was posted in the Honest Youth Pastor post. But it went on and said this: "You are not Billy Graham. You are not John Piper." By the way, those are kind of like famous preachers. "You are not Al Mohler," another great speaker. It goes on and says, "You will struggle to find a church, and the church you will have will only have 75 people, and it will be far away from your family. Legacy families will control the church you're in. You can listen in on the committees, but their traditions cannot be broken. You will spend half your week on sermon prep. People will forget everything by next week. They will remember the joke you told. Your children will be taught heresy. They will be the only kids there most of the time, and they will be strictly judged. You cannot ever complain about your finances, and nobody cares about your degrees. You cannot afford a nice place to live. Your wife will envy your time with the church members, and you will feel guilty about neglecting your family. You will think you're neglecting your flock. You will fail in love, or you will fall in love with some people. Your closest friends will die. The others will leave. Count the cost before you answer the call to ministry. If you think I'm overstating my case, I'm not. If you think you're the exception, you're not. All of the above is just the bare minimum. If you can, find something else to do. If you can't, you're still not called. But if you are, count the cost. Then enjoy." Wow. Woo! Somebody's been eating lemons, not just sucking on them, eating lemons. And I'm not here to blow sunshine up your ear and tell you everything about the ministry is awesome, because I have come through a season that it was hard, and there was pain, and there was disappointment and disillusionment. But Jesus was nailed to the cross, and he didn't do anything wrong. So I haven't really suffered, if I think it's in comparison. And yeah, some of the things that this person said are true, and you will experience it. And I'm in a process right now of really trying to find my next place of ministry. And unfortunately, kind of the business world has crept into the church world, and we do headhunting, and we do search committees, and we do multiple boards and different ways of evaluation. I've taken so many assessments and personality comparisons, and I have retold my story hundreds of times. It's complicated, maybe too complicated. You know what? Ultimately, you wait to be wanted. You wait to be wanted. Man, I would love in one of those interviews for somebody just to say, "Can we just stop right now? I sense the presence of God, and I think this is it." But instead, it's kind of like nobody showing their cards, because ultimately, I've got to keep looking for other places of ministry, and they've got to keep interviewing other potential pastors or leaders, because somebody else is going to get involved, and somebody else is going to have a vote, and somebody else is going to have an opinion, and we're dealing with a bunch of imperfect people. We are all imperfect. We don't have it all together. So how do you know? How do you pick? How do you find the right pastor, youth pastor, worship pastor, leader? How do you get that person? Well, you know, one of the themes of my life in ministry is make prayer your life, and the ministry will take care of itself. Man, I do believe that God can show us and that God can reveal it. And like it says in the Word, it seemed right to the Holy Spirit and to us. And and still has that word seemed, it means that we're doing the best we can to hear from God and to make decisions. But if we're not careful, we'll go through such an intrinsic search that the person will come in to be your pastor, your leader, insecure, thinking, how can I live up to all of these expectations? What if my theology is a little off on Sunday? Am I going to be called in before some would-be theologian sitting on the back waiting for you to screw up? You know, I found out in ministry long, long, long time ago, most of the people who hear you preach or hear you teach love it and they think you do a really awesome job, but they don't tell you because they think everyone else tells you. But the person who thinks you stink, the person who thinks you missed the mark, that you said the wrong scripture, that you took something out of context, they're going to let you know, and they're probably going to let somebody else know. Because self-righteousness is one of the most ugly things in the world. And when you're trying to prove how spiritual you are, you're really revealing how spiritual you aren't. It's just the facts. You know, we want to do life together. I want to raise disciples. I want to see communities change. I want to have fun. I want to love people and see the next generation do greater things than my generation did. But it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, the Word of God says, a simple verse, but in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called, few are chosen. You know what I compare that to? And I've done this before. Many people have heard me say this. But when I was a kid in elementary school, I loved playing kickball. I loved it. And my right leg was a cannon. I could kick that ball. So when you'd go out for recess, somebody, sure enough, would yell, kickball! You know what that is? Many are called. Everybody was called. So you run to that little corner of the field and you line up along the chain link backstop. And then what do? They get two captains. And inevitably, one of the two captains is your friend and you want on their team. So when they're picking, you're making yourself super obvious. You're like raising your hand. You're like leaning over. You're staring at them. You're smiling. And then when the other guy's picking, you're like staring at the dirt. Your head's down. You're like, don't pick me. Don't pick me. You see, many are called. Few are chosen. You got to make yourself choosable. You got to put yourself out there. You got to say, pick me. One of the things I do every single day when I get up in the morning, I say, God, pick me. I'm choosable. I want to be choosable. I want to be the bill that he pulls out of his wallet. I want to be the person he chooses for the task. I already know I'm called, but you know what? So are you. We're all called, but are you chosen? And how do you make yourself choosable? You know, I'm thinking about this because I have had different interviews on Zoom calls and phone calls and texting just this week, all kinds of different things. And for all kinds of different positions, from XP to youth pastor. Can you believe that? People still think this old dog can hunt. And I bet I can. And then lead pastor and other positions. I've looked in the marketplace and just want to be usable. You know, I just want to make this next decade of my life the greatest decade so far. And I feel like I'm ready for it. But as choosable as I am, I'm still dependent on other people. I'm still dependent on somebody else to say, come. And I find myself racing now because my house is under contract. And by the end of June, we're going to be out of our house. And so, will I have a new place to live by then? Back when I put the house on the market, I thought, you know, that seemed like forever. Now it's racing towards me. And there's a lot of process. There's a lot of people that get a say and people that want to vote and people that want to, you know, have something to do with it. You know, there are places you can go and you'll have to be voted by a whole church. And then a year later, they want to vote again. Man, what is that like? That's just like crazy, isn't it? But everybody wants a say until it comes down to the hard parts. Showing up. Being at prayer, going the extra mile, cleaning your city. Then it's harder to get people to show up or have a voice. But just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you're right and doesn't mean you should say it. In fact, if it isn't nice, you shouldn't say it. If it doesn't build up, it builds down or it tears down, and that's not good. You know, like I said at the very beginning, I think there's a lot of us out here, we're waiting to be wanted. We want to be celebrated, not tolerated. And I know on both sides, there's risk. But I think the best way to spell faith is R-I-S-K. When you've been in the presence of God and you leave the big decisions to the Holy Spirit, then you can walk in the Spirit and you can make decisions that maybe just seems almost haphazard, but it seems right to the Holy Spirit and to us. And so we go for it. We walk forward in it. When you read the New Testament, it's certainly not complicated like we've made the church today. There's not a board for every single thing, and there's not a committee for every single thing. And, you know, because they were dying too quickly, they were wanted people. So as you think about your pastor, your leader, do everything you can to encourage. That means put courage into. That means send notes, send gift cards, give them a restaurant gift card, or do something. Tell them you enjoyed it and what you enjoyed when they speak a word that means something to you. But if you're in the process of bringing someone in, or you're in the process like me of waiting to be chosen, waiting to be the next for somebody else's world, be patient, be kind. You want to go in and change the world, but go in and learn names and be with people and let other people continue to serve around you. Let people get used to you. And, you know, maybe one day we'll get it all just right. And, but until then, I want to spend my life filling heaven with people. You know, it's about kingdom. Not the name of your church or the brand of your church or the denomination or the fellowship. Kingdom. And I pray today that His kingdom come and His will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. That's my prayer. And I'm praying something amazing happens in your life. Hey, if you're praying for me, pray. I really appreciate it. I've got a lot of different things swirling around right now. And there's a something that's really kind of getting exciting inside of me, but I don't know if I can be excited yet. So keep praying, and I'll keep you posted. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm always so grateful for everyone who's part of this. Peace.